RandomChatter.com presents
Oliver Queen,
an Arrow podcast.
Now I will fulfill my father's dying wish.
Dedicated to the discussion of the Arrow television series.
Bring down those who are poisoning my city. To do this, I must become someone else. I must become
Green Justice.
Welcome back, everybody, to Green Justice, an Arrow podcast. I'm your host, Jay.
And I'm Josh.
And you've discovered the number one podcast dedicated to the CW television show Arrow, with discussion and commentary on all the various episodes. So this week, actually, I would say this month, thank you for joining us for our summer special number four. That is because we did three of these during the hiatus last year, so that's why that's what brings us here today. So, Josh, is your summer shaping up?
My summer shaping up so far, yeah. Actually, it's been shaping up very well. I've had a little bit of time this week to catch up on a variety of comics that I've been needing to get
Excellent.
To. Yeah.
Well, I'm afraid that one of us might expose themselves during this episode, so I just want to give kind of a general warning to the audience here. Just try to control yourself during this episode. I know it's going to be tough. All right?
Okay. All right. I'll try not to expose myself.
Right. I just feel like we're going to be talking a lot about The Flash. So, you know, I don't want to,
Yeah. I'll get a giant fig leaf. What was that? Was there ever a superhero whose costume was like a fig leaf?
There was a superhero whose costume was a fig leaf.
I don't know. The Atom? No, that doesn't.
The Atom and horrible. The Eve, I guess. Right?
And the Eve, yeah. They were partners. So.
Yeah.
No, there wasn't. Okay, I promise I will keep my pants on during this entire episode.
Okay, all right.
This time.
Oh, so you've been sitting around pantsless in previous episodes?
50 to 60%, I'd say.
Okay. All right. Well, so we wanted to take a little bit of time. There is still some cool Green Arrow stuff that we do want to discuss. But since the Arrow made some appearances and there is this spinoff show that people may have heard about called The Flash coming next year, we did want to discuss that a little bit. But before we do that, let's go over some of the Green Arrow news that we've gotten here in the last, about a month and a half since our season finale?
Yep, just about. Seems like forever. I'm already kind of jonesing for the next episode. But
I know. Well, it's like I get used to talking to you pretty much on a weekly basis, and then we go, you know, weeks and weeks and weeks without doing it. So I'm glad we can do this.
I miss you, Jay.
Thanks, Josh. So we got the DVD release information. It will be on September 16th. So let's hope that I'm going to say right now it's probably about a week and a half to 2 weeks before Arrow Season 3 premieres. That just seems to be how it works. It's going to be a 9-disc Blu-ray set and a 5-disc DVD set. I wonder if they're going to do the put the DVDs in with the Blu-ray, you know, when they do that, like they did for Season 1.
I don't know.
I don't know if you had seen any information about that.
I didn't see information about that, or I didn't pay much attention to that part. I was trying to find out kind of what was in them, but I'm not sure about that one.
I'll have to find out about that, because that was cool when I bought the Blu-ray for Season 1. It gave me the DVD, so if I wanted to watch them on my computer or something like that, I could do that as well.
Yeah.
So I don't have to, you know, I mean, I understand the Blu-rays are higher quality than the DVD and all that, but, you know, it's a nice little bonus, and I still have a computer with a DVD drive in it and everything like that, so.
Yeah, I only have one place to play Blu-rays, so it's kind of nice to have,
have
DVDs
the option
every once in a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you see any of the cover art for this yet? I haven't seen any digital art for this or anything.
You know what? The only thing that I have seen so far has been on Amazon, and the box cover for the DVD. It looks, I hate to say it's nothing too different or special because I really like it. But it's similar to last season where he was kind of standing right in the middle with he had green on. But in this one, he's got his hood and his mask on. It's not even the paint, it's the mask. And then the other, you know, supporting characters are standing behind him. Actually, they don't even get as much much room as they did in the last one. Now, and I can't remember on the box cover, were the supporting characters on, or was it just Stephen Amell?
It was just him on the last one. I believe he was the shirtless one where you could see all the scars and everything.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So this one is a little bit. There's more people on it. So I like it, but like I said, it's kind of generic. Again, it's you know all the individual characters, you know, promo shots for their character and then kind of Photoshop.
Oh, I see it now. So, yeah, it looks like it's the poster that we had up on the Facebook page for a while.
Oh, yeah, right.
I mean, of the supporting characters, at least, the picture of Oliver is different.
So like I said, I mean, it's not a new picture. I like when they do new pictures, new shots, but...
Yeah, but, you know, that costs money. Right, everybody's wrapped for the year. I know it's kind of silly, but so and it looks like the Blu-ray is Blu-ray plus DVD plus ultraviolet. If you're into that sort of thing,
I was just gonna say I just saw that too. Yeah, I've never used the ultraviolet. Have you?
I didn't like ultraviolet. That was not a good movie.
No.
Yeah.
But they sure included on a lot of other movies, so I thought maybe it was good.
Yeah.
I will, of course, be getting the 9-disc set and looking forward to checking out all the extras.
Yeah, and we can definitely do a little unboxing, watching review of that when we get that. So look for...
There will be exposure in that one when we unbox.
Yes, there will be. 9 discs of exposure. so look for more information on that as we get it. Now, there were some... Arrow cast members out in your neck of the woods here last weekend.
Yeah, Denver Comic Con. Stephen Amell and Katie Lotz were both there at a panel. And it was pretty cool. Now, I will admit to you, I did not make it down there, even though it was just a few scant miles away. I still didn't make it, but I...
Man, you could have just said, "Yeah, I was there, and here's all the information I got from it." Nobody.
No? I gotta be honest. But I knew people that were there, and I did, you know, have them check stuff out, and I checked some stuff out too. But I wanted to share just a couple things that they said because it was a good little panel with just the two of them. It seemed very kind of informal. It was just kind of them, like everything Stephen Amell does. It's just kind of him showing up, you know.
Yeah. Hey, I was just in town. I thought I'd come in here. What do you guys? Oh, is there a Comic Con going? Sure, I'll stop in.
It did, and he even posted. I think on Facebook page, he's like, "Had a great time at Denver Comic Con. I will be coming again." So apparently, he had a good time. So that's awesome. But anyway, so just a few questions that I thought were interesting from their panel, and I'll share them with you. They asked the two of them what their favorite episode was.
Okay.
Katie Lotz, she said her favorite episode was The League of Assassins, which makes a lot of sense. That was a really big kind of a breakout episode for her.
Uh-huh.
But Stephen Amell kind of surprised everybody, and he said that his favorite one was the one where Moira died.
That was a powerful episode.
It was, and that's what he said too about it.
Didn't happen in it.
Well, he said that there was just as far as a character-driven plot, he really liked that episode, and so that was kind of surprising.
Now, were these the panel questions, or were these the fan come-up-to-the-mic questions?
These were all fan come-up-to-the-mic questions, which I thought were more interesting. So,
yeah.
I picked some good ones. Somebody asked what other characters they would like to be on the show if they could be somebody else. Let's see, Katie Lotz said Deathstroke. I thought that was kind of interesting, but Stephen Amell said, I think I'd be the Canary.
I don't know how he'd get anything done. actually, I don't know how we'd get anything done because since he's always walking around with his shirt off, that would, that would be interesting. Here we go with exposure again all of a sudden.
What he said the reason was because he likes the bow staff. You know, hey, it might be the costume too. So
yeah. he's, okay, anyway. Okay, next.
So then somebody asked him what kind of arrow that he would like to see on the show. You know, his special arrows. The trick arrows.
Yes.
And he mentioned that he would like to see an arrow that freezes somebody. I like this idea.
If he gets more trick arrows like that, like you know, they need to do it like super cheesy, I think, just to see him have fun with it, like Stephen Amell have fun with it as an actor, if not even showing Arrow having fun. Like, he could have a glue arrow, right, and he shoots it at the guy and goes, stick around, you know, and, you know, he could shoot a freeze arrow at somebody and they, you know, freeze, you know, so.
Well, there is definitely a large treasure trove of arrows in the comics that they could look for to find a good one for him, so. I don't know. I like seeing those arrows every once in a while. I'm glad they don't do it like every week, but every once in a while is kind of a nice nod to the comics.
In the new Hawkeye series that Marvel publishes, there's he's got a bunch of trick arrows too, right? Because, I mean, basically Hawkeye's just a knockoff of Green Arrow or vice versa. And he can't get to his quiver. They're driving in a car, and he can't get to his quiver, so he's calling out to somebody to hand him certain arrows. And, of course, they don't know one arrow from another because all the knocks, you know, he has all the knocks adjusted so he can tell by feel. And they're just handing him an arrow, and he thinks he's getting an exploding arrow, and it's a glue arrow, or it's, you know, it's a sonic arrow, or it's a boomerang arrow. And they're like, what good is a arrow that comes back at you? So...
Well, I want to see some more. They've done some good ones actually that didn't seem too cheesy, but I don't mind maybe a cheesy one every now and then. So
it would be nice just to as that could, you know, because right now the humor kind of comes from the interplay of the characters, but you can have some like weird technical things like that that provide some humor in the episode, I think.
Yeah, that'd be a good nice little interaction between him and Roy once Roy kind of gets established as. There. So
give him some weird arrows to try out or something.
There you go. He'll give him some safety arrows, suction cups. my favorite part of the panel, I thought this was really cool. It was just Katie Lotz and Stephen Amell, but somebody asked a question about Emily Bett Rickards, about, you know, Felicity. And so Katie just called her on her cell phone.
That's awesome.
She just you know, dials her up and waits, you know, while they're talking to Stephen Amell about something, and then she puts the phone up to the microphone. She's like, "Oh, where am I? What country are you guys in? What is it?" So that was kind of cool. I've never seen anybody do that on a panel before. I like that. And she answered too, which was, you know, good timing. So
yeah.
The last thing that I saw that I thought was just kind of interesting, things that Stephen Amell was talking about. Somebody asked about Thea, and he said that she will most likely be a very central part of the story for season 3, which makes a lot of sense, you know, seeing as what happened at the end of season 2. But I can't remember if we mentioned this or not, but John Barrowman has signed on to be a regular.
Yeah, I think we covered that towards the end of the season because I think we had heard about that. But that's really cool. So he'll be a regular for all season, which means he'll be in at least more than, what, 2 episodes.
Yes. Yeah. They can write a little bit more than the Mexican soap opera dialogue for him since he'll be in a, you know, regular. But
no, they'll just write a lot of Mexican soap opera dialogue. I think that's what it'll be.
You're probably right with him, but
yeah.
But that makes sense with him being a regular and then now him being so connected with Thea, that makes sense. She'll be a central part of the story. So, and I'm sure there'll be many others too, because they do these nice little arc chunks in the stories and they overlap really well. But, but he did mention that Thea and Malcolm may not even be in the first few episodes of the season. If they go along real time, like they did for most of season 3, except for the last few episodes. So they have, you know, the summer off like they did last season. You don't know where Malcolm and Thea have gone off to, and they've been gone for several months. So they may be not back for a little while. So, that's interesting. I'm anxious to kind of see how they evolve Thea's character.
Yeah, that's cool. Okay, well, also here, Josh, full disclosure, I think, and this may have been contributing factor that you were watching this, but you also sent me a Katie Lotz GIF, which I thought was really fun.
That was just, you know, to keep your mind on the show and,
yeah,
you know, make sure you're keeping up with all the actors and the characters and things.
And that's about all we can talk about because there's some exposure in that as well. So, but I'm sure if you search for Katie Lotz GIFs, you guys will find the one that we're talking about here. So anyway, a piece of information that I found from a Mark Guggenheim discussion that he was doing as the question was raised to him as like, how do the producers go about picking the characters for upcoming episodes? And this was from Paste Magazine. It was an interview that they did with executive producer Mark Guggenheim. And, it's basically about restrictions for characters. And he says, I don't know that we've never really addressed it because the question was, in addition to the restrictions that they may have on characters, how would having Gotham and Constantine, which are also DC properties, but on different networks, how would that affect characters he gets to work with? And he says, the way we work with DC is this. At the beginning of the year, they give us a list of characters who they think would be good for Arrow and that we might want to use. Which I find is really interesting, Josh, just the fact that DC is actually saying, hey, you know, we've thought about this. Here are a bunch of characters that we think might be good for the show that, you'd want to use. Which seems to kind of counter to what I hear about a lot of, movies and shows where people go, oh, we really want to use this, and then they have to go ask for that character. So.
Yeah, it kind of surprises me. I guess, you can look at it in different ways. As a writer of the show, I'm like, hey, I don't know if I want to use that character. Why are you giving that to me? But on the other hand, they're saying, look, here's a list of good characters, and you can kind of pick and choose from that based on, what kind of stories you're looking to do. So
right.
I like that there's that connection between the comics and the show.
Well, and they may also give you a character that you would never even think about using, and that may spark other ideas. Like, I'm having to look at a cover here. It's like, we'll give you the Guardian, who is a Captain America kind of superhero. He's got some super strength and stuff and has a shield. So, maybe we could do something with him, for example.
He's a Superman-based character, isn't he? Isn't that right?
Yeah, he's from Metropolis. Yeah, he's part of Project Cadmus.
Right.
I believe. The Adventures of Superman and Action Comics series from the mid-80s and stuff like that when they rebooted. So Guggenheim...
Well, I'm still holding out hope that they'll put in the Heckler.
Oh, Heckler. That would be awesome. You know what? Maybe we need to start a write-in campaign.
I like that. And Heckler's a good guy, too, so he could be on Team Arrow.
Hashtag Heckler or something like that.
All right. I'm on it. I'm going to do that.
Stay tuned, guys, because if we figure out what to do with this, or if anyone has any good ideas about how we might go about trying to get the inclusion of the Heckler on the show, even just a reference to him would be awesome. But
that would be awesome. And if you don't know who the Heckler is, you need to look it up. Cause
yeah, we'll have to
post
some information about him on our Facebook page. But email us at greenjustice@randomchatter.com if you guys have any ideas about the best way for us to go about letting the producers know that we'd like to see him. And DC, too. So anyway, Guggenheim goes on to say, that's always super helpful. Then, on an episode or arc basis, we'll go to DC and say, hey, can we use this character? Or we'll go, hey, we have a character like this. Is there a DC character that fits that mold? Sometimes they say yes, sometimes they say no. Sometimes they say we can use one character but not another. There's one character in Season 3 that we couldn't get, but DC proposed a better character. It just goes hand in hand. I think one of the things people appreciated about Season 2 was how far we went into the DC universe. We will be continuing that into Season 3. So I think that's pretty cool. So there's always cool stuff that's going on. And in just a little bit here in the show, we will be discussing some new characters that they have released snuck out. Gotten onto the web, basically four new characters that are going to be in the series next season. So we'll be discussing those in just a little bit. But before we do that, because this has been such a big part of season two, and I know we've discussed it here a lot on the show. We wanted to cover the Flash teaser and trailer, and just talk a little bit about what we're seeing there. Josh, putting it all out here on the table. You're a huge Flash fan, so
love
I think
the
there's
Flash.
a lot at stake for you.
I'll say there's. I know. I never look at it as having a lot at stake, but I am looking forward to this. I will be.
Well, if they screw it up, you're going to be really upset.
If it's not. Well, yeah. I mean, I won't because there's so much Flash out there. But because I'm not like one of those the internet haters. But I do have very, very high hopes that this is going to be kind of a long-lasting fun thing. So. But,
okay.
You know, I will. I'll be okay. I'll support. I'll support what's out there. I don't like being those hateful. People you see on the internet there.
I know.
That.
So, like Stuart.
But it's going to be good. It's going to be good. I know it is.
Right. So we did find out I think we had alluded to this at one point during one of our previous episodes. John Wesley Shipp, who played the Flash in the 1990s version that was on CBS, which also had Mark Hamill as the Trickster in one or two episodes. Unfortunately, it only went a season. But he is appearing in the CW's series of The Flash as Barry's father, which I think is awesome to have a guy that previously played The Flash playing the character's father in the new show.
Yeah, that is very cool.
It's a great homage.
It was kind of like when Lana Lang showed up in Smallville as Clark's mother.
Right. And in the original Superman film, the Lois Lane from the 1950s Adventures of Superman with George Reeves.
Yes.
Noelle Neal played Lois Lane's mom in the train sequence.
Yep, I remember that.
There's
something very nice in that.
Yeah, there's quite a precedent for that sort of thing, I guess. So, why don't we take a look at the teaser here? And since both the teaser and the trailer feature Oliver Queen in both them, I figured we could talk a little bit about these. Sound good?
Sure.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, so I hear that the music in this trailer is from, I think it's called, is it called Countdown to Mars or something like that? It's a band.
Okay.
So we've got Oliver walking over the hill here, and he's got this target that he's sighting, but then who comes racing out of the distance? This is the thing we got teased with a little bit before the before this aired on the, what was it, the season finale, I think, had this trailer?
I think that's when it was.
And then he fires the arrow, and it goes
streaking
through.
He's like going in slow motion, but... Barry's very excited.
I like the fact that he calls Barry a show-off, and then in the next shot we see of him here, he pulls out three arrows. Game
on. And he's got a big old grin on his face, too. So
yeah, it's great. I was just going to say it's that the kind of the camaraderie, but also the one-upsmanship that these characters have with each other, I think, is pretty cool.
Yeah. And I like it was a very lighthearted look at the characters, and I hope that they kind of keep that. I don't know if they're going to have any crossovers in either series. I would hope every once in a while they could do something like that, but because in the comics they do.
Yeah, I mean, based on what we see here in the full length trailer that we're going to go over next, Oliver actually is in the first episode.
That makes sense.
Would
the first episode be the episodes that were supposed to be part of the Arrow season two?
Yeah.
It
would be
them?
The pilot. Yeah, the first episode is going to be the pilot, which would have been the one that they were going to do. So, you know, it's
right.
Presumably
so
it's going to be the one where he gets his powers.
It was filmed for Arrow anyway.
Yeah. So,
but I hope they show up every once in a while, just a little crossover, you know. That's always fun.
Yeah, I mean, and the... you know, once you start in, inviting villains and other characters into the Flash universe, they can, you know, work their way into the Arrow universe at some point as well. I mean, we know that there is crossover with the Star Labs characters, Cisco and, was it Caitlin, I believe?
I think so. Ooh, can't remember. It's been a while since I thought of her name, so.
Yeah, Killer Frost and Vibe.
And Arrow went a little more supernaturally kind of power-wise, you know. Not too much into that realm, but with the Mirakuru, you know, you had the you had characters that had powers, call them, I guess, that you probably wouldn't have seen in season one.
Right.
So they are going a little bit more toward that. So, and I am just fine with that. It's a comic book character, so go for it.
Right. And I think that's what they're going to be doing with season three. It sounds like there may be the potential for just that little bit of edge to more high tech and potentially, you know, characters that have just that little edge of metahumanness or whatever, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So
yep.
We'll see.
Hey, all right, they are edging towards the Justice League movie too. So, you know, I know this isn't necessarily the same.
I know.
Universe.
I'd love to
so,
see these guys in that. But
I would too.
Who knows?
I would too. So
yeah.
All right.
All right. You want to take a look at the trailer here?
Okay. So this is the extended trailer, right?
This is the extended trailer. Yeah. This is I don't know. There was like a that was a minute long teaser that they made. They did like a two and a half minute trailer, and then this is the extended trailer. It's about 5 minutes here, and so we'll start this up and we'll see how this goes. All right.
Okay.
Barry got into a fight.
Guess I wasn't fast enough.
It's better to.
Oh, poor Barry's getting beat up in this one, but his mom's telling him it's going to be okay. Except that she died.
Oh, yep, that's never good. Unless you want to become a superhero, then it works out.
I like the fact that we get to hear this story from, or we get to actually see the video from this story, the same story that he told in Arrow when he was on about how his mom died.
Mm-hmm. And now you look, it looks a heck of a lot like Professor Zoom there.
The impossible. Never
and I think the footage that we're watching here in this part is the same footage we saw in Arrow.
Right,
with
when
the,
he
had the super collider exploding.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, messing with a big metal chain in the middle of a lightning storm.
And you see that levitating liquid again, like when he was a kid. I had forgotten about that.
He's hit by lightning.
How's he still alive?
Coding. Charge battles at 200. Clear.
And then we actually get to see him going into the ER here and waking up, and here's the new cast members in Star Labs. So he's.
What's going on?
You were struck by lightning, dude.
Lightning gave me abs.
You were in a coma.
Yeah, he's got the abs of a superhero, so he's been working out.
Yeah. That was a lot to discuss.
I watched you die, Barry. You kept dying. Your heart.
So we got the guy from Ed playing like a wheelchair-bound scientist at Star Labs, and then we get to see the first version of the speed effects here in the trailer, which is it's pretty cool. I got to say, it looks like they're doing a good job with that.
Yeah, it's definitely a step up from what they used to do on like say Smallville with speed.
Oh, yeah, I don't use that as a good benchmark for anything.
Well...
You don't really believe he can run that fast, do you?
And he's got some healing powers there. And...
So what do they clock him going? About, 500 miles an hour here, I think. 700 miles an hour.
Searching for other metahumans like yourself. Sky went black.
And what we find out here, so do you reckon? I mean, can you tell who this bad guy is just from what we've seen here in the trailer so far?
No, and then when I was talking here, they said his name, I think, didn't they? And I missed it.
Ruptured, unleashing unknown energies into our world. Antimatter, dark energy, X elements.
Those are all theoretical.
And how theoretical are you?
Oh, did they just explain how he got his powers?
Yeah, so they've got all these potential little yellow dots popping up with all the different characters that are getting metahuman powers. So we've got this Flash villain that controls the weather, so I'm pretty sure that would be the Weather Wizard.
Yeah, I would think so. That makes sense.
Just a young man who was struck by lightning.
And then this part where he flips the car over, one of my friends was like, why didn't he just grab the gun instead of flipping the car over? Which, you know, well, he's still learning how to be a hero.
Exactly. Hey, you know, hey, Oliver went through these little growing pains too,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
I can't do it without you.
I have something that might help. It's made of a reinforced tripolymer.
So here's this suit, which is interesting. It's kind of based off the New 52 version of the suit, it looks pretty cool.
Guy who was struck by lightning.
I don't think that bolt.
I think they're going for the looser material on his, you know, like on his torso and stuff like that. A little more realistic as opposed to just a very spandexy looking superhero outfit.
It's time to think big. We just had the scene there with Oliver kind of counseling him on how to be a superhero and everything like that, and the fact that he should wear a mask, which is great. And the fact they're calling him the Red Streak on TV, I think is kind of cool. Because in Smallville, wasn't he called the Blur?
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. Was it the Blur? I guess. Didn't they call him Impulse at once, too, on Smallville? Or am I putting a different character in? Because he was... What happened here? I don't remember now. I was thinking back to Smallville because I think his name was even Bart on Smallville, wasn't it?
Oh, well, I'm sorry. I guess I'm thinking about Clark on Smallville. He was the Blur. I don't know what they called
him. Oh, Clark. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know what they called. I mean, yeah, it was Bart, and they just called him Bart, I think. I don't know.
Just Bart.
Well, that was the part where he tells him to wear a mask, and then he flips off the side of the building. So
dramatic.
Wow. That looks awesome.
It does. It does. And that, man, they gave us a 5.5 minute preview to get you excited about it. And it worked on me. I saw a few comments on the internet that weren't as excited as I was, but most people really were.
Yeah. It seems the buzz I've been hearing is pretty positive. I mean, basically we just saw 1/9 of the entire episode. If we figured the episode's going to be like 45 minutes long. Wow. So that's pretty cool. And unfortunately, I know we had discussed this during one of our previous Green Justice podcasts, how much we would have loved to have had like a Brave and the Bold Wednesday with the Flash followed by Arrow or vice versa. But I think they feel like this is an 8 o'clock show as well. And they have enough faith in this show to anchor it on its own night. And use it as a lead-in to the Tomorrow People, I think, is what they're going to use it for. So anyway, it's going to be airing Tuesdays at 8, and Arrow will be staying Wednesdays at 8, Eastern and Pacific.
That's right. So you got 2 nights in a row. So, or like I said, if you're like me, I'll just probably watch them right one night after another. But so.
Yeah, we'll do our Friday night watching here with the kids, so because we try not to... Try not to watch episodes during the week, and so we'll just do something on Friday night, and we'll sit down and get pizza or something like that, and then just watch the three or four of the episodes of the shows that we record during the week. So that'll be pretty fun. So if there was one thing out of like the trailer that you could pick out that you really thought was exciting or done well, what would that be?
Are you thinking like a scene that you're thinking of?
Yeah, just maybe a scene, a shot, a moment, something like that.
Ooh, let's see. I have to think about that. I mean, overall, I really kind of like the feeling that the character is getting. He's kind of a young, excited, doesn't know what he's doing character. I like storylines like that. I really, that's why I liked Greatest American Hero when that was on.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
That's a good show. So I do like the running effects, like you mentioned. I thought that was really good. And it looks like we're going to get a pretty good origin story. So I guess that doesn't really break it down scene by scene. I'd have to go back and and look at one scene. But how about you? What do you think?
I like the Tom Cavanaugh moments in there. He's the star scientist who's kind of the leader. He's in a wheelchair. It's kind of got that Niles Calder vibe about him. And so Niles Calder is the leader of the Doom Patrol, which is a superhero group, kind of like the X-Men. I guess that might have been where DC was going. They put the head guy in a wheelchair, and they've got different characters with weird powers and stuff like that.
So but, you think he'll be like the elder mentor?
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's obviously, you know, kind of a father figure, as is, I think, Iris's dad, Detective West. So I think, you know, but that's it, since he's a cop, that's a different kind of thing. But since Barry's kind of a forensic scientist as well, I think this Tom Cavanaugh character is going to, you know, they're going to be able to connect a lot better. And since he works for Star Labs, I think there's going to be, you know, this, he's going to have all these cool things that he's going to bring into the show. I just kind of get that vibe. There's the scene in the trailer where he kind of puts on these sunglasses right before Barry takes off. And it's like, all right, I'm going to put these cool glasses on and watch this guy run 700 miles an hour. Just, I get a good vibe out of that.
Yeah. Yeah. He looks like an interesting character. I like that too.
So,
well, like I said, I'm very excited. Just overall, I think it looks like it's very well put together. They've put a lot of thought into this one, just like they do on Arrow. Mm-hmm. And I think when you do that, you end up with a very nice result.
Based on what I've seen so far, you know, pilots usually don't have quite the budget of, or they have more of a budget for the normal show. So I'm wondering, you know, how different this is going to be, like, you know, how much more effects are going to be in it. You know, I think we talked about this with S.H.I.E.L.D., the fact that the first one had a lot of effects, and then they kind of had to go away for a while and, you know, rebuild their budget, it seemed like. So we'll have to see how The Flash works, because obviously there's going to be a lot more effects, character-driven effects for The Flash himself than there are for Arrow, because other than the digital arrows and stuff like that he fires, you know, I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of other digital wire removal and stuff, but not really, you know, story-based effects that they need to put in.
Yeah. Well, and plus with Flash, you got the villains, too, it looks like. So
mm-hmm. All the metahuman villains.
I don't know the answer to this question, but if you set up a special effect, like, you know, say him running, if you set that up the way it works, is that something you can reuse in another scene? Do you know, or do you just have to redo it every time? Is it like just another set of animating when you
do another scene? Yeah, because it depends on whether you're doing it as a 2D animation or as a 3D render of some kind. So if they're rendering, or if they have some kind of, I don't know, you know, brush or effect or something like that, that they just paint around him and it automatically renders it randomly renders a lightning streak and the blur and stuff like that, then
right,
they can reuse it. But it's probably more on a shot by shot basis, because they would have to render it in perspective. And, you know, it depends on how he's running, whether he's running straight or whether he's turning, you know, 'cause there's probably all sorts of,
yeah, and it didn't appear in the trailer that there was just a bunch of stock footage of him running. So
right,
so
right.
That's
I'm
good.
Sure it's going to.
So it's
yeah,
not
I
like
mean,
on.
You know, if this was 1980, there would be one shot of him running that they would pay for the pilot, and then every other time you saw him running,
yeah,
amazingly he'd be running in the exact same way as you saw him in the pilot,
as like Voltron. Transforming into the
best. Yes. All of a sudden it just goes to the shot where he's even at the ocean or whatever. And
yeah, or even the Hulk. They used a lot of stuff like that, I think, when
yeah,
Hulk.
Reusing footage.
Yeah. But
yeah.
Well, either way, it looks great. I am I'm really stoked about this series. I think it's going to be exciting. It is definitely, for me, the one that I'm looking forward to the most this season.
Cool. And so. If like the two of us, you can't get enough, if you go out to YouTube or just search on the internet for Flash clips, there are a number of other little teaser bits they're putting out. It's reusing some of the same footage you've seen here, but it's also got interviews with Tom Cavanaugh or with the actress that plays Iris West, Wally's, I'm sorry, Barry's girlfriend slash not girlfriend. There's one about the friend zone that she kind of puts him in. So they've got these little cool like vignettes, I guess, that they're releasing to kind of get people excited and to introduce you to the different characters and the actors that are playing them. So just go ahead and take a look for those. And like I said, I think Oliver is in, like, the scenes we see with Oliver, it's not just something they shot specifically for the trailer. It looked like those are actually parts of the episode, based on something that Stephen Amell had tweeted at one point as well. So getting back into Arrow discussion, if we may, is that okay? Can we go back and talk a little more Arrow now?
Of course. Of course. I get excited about that too. So
okay. So on June 16th.
Hold on. Let me put my pants back on. Hold on.
Oh, dude, you told me.
I promised. I'm sorry.
I know.
Sometimes
you're so fast.
It was so exciting.
I know. It's just, I understand. You got to, you know, hike your pants back up. It's just pants on
all
the
right.
floor,
all right,
pants
got
on
it.
The or pants on the ground, pants on the ground.
Yeah, I was looking like a fool. So,
yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Not like Oliver. Oliver could have his pants on the ground. He still looked good. Have you seen the plethora of workout videos that he's been posting lately? He is going to town, getting ready for season three already.
I've not been paying attention to what he's. I'm assuming on Facebook.
Yeah. And if you're into parkour, just like Stephen Amell's page because he puts something up all the time. He did a heck of a backflip on solid ground here the other day.
That was
pretty dang impressive. Wow. Every time he does that, the producer's got to just, like, clench up and cringe.
Oh, insurance! God, please don't hurt yourself. Well, I mean, shoot, Harrison Ford breaks his
foot. I think that's what happened to Harrison Ford.
Yeah, exactly. It's like
he was trying to do a backflip.
I saw that Harrison Ford held up a sign that says, can do the Kessel Run in 12 parsecs, can't walk through a door. So that was a funny thing. Anyway, okay. So getting back to Arrow here. On June 16th of this year, 2014, by the way, there were some season three characters that were released or that kind of got out into the wild about four descriptions of these characters that are from sides. Sides are the pages that they give to potential actors when they come in to read for a new role. So it's usually a small little bio about the character that you are trying out for, and then there's usually some dialogue either from a specific episode that this character appears in, or they repurpose another scene and just have you read that character, but in the way that you would portray the character that you are trying out for. So I found, as did many people on the internet, of course, the second this stuff comes out, speculation starts running rampant about who these characters are. Because it doesn't say, for example, Solomon Grundy, age unknown, giant walking voodoo, character, likes quiet walks on the beach and flowers. They don't put stuff like that in there. They are very... So, I think you may have seen some of these with stuff they're doing for Star Wars, where it's like they need, with Lando, they would have one. It's like, he would just be called Administrator. And it's like a suave, charming, dashing man who runs a...
Ladies man.
Ladies man who runs a mining facility. Mid-30s to 40s or something like that. It gives you no sense about what the character is, does, or anything.
Come to Bethben and have some kvakier. Thank you, Princess. I don't. He didn't get the part.
No, he didn't. He did not get the part. Okay. So with that being said, I'm going to read the sides for these characters, but then I wanted to discuss a little bit about who we think they are. So the first character is Daniel. And from the part that I got here, it says, though Daniel could be a fake name to throw off spoilerholics, this 20-something gent, a major recurring character for season 3, is a handsome, enigmatic, and highly intelligent entrepreneur developing groundbreaking technology. And then it says, picture a business magnet in Ryan Gosling's body. Though exuding charm and confidence in public, he privately harbors a tragic past that will drive him to become a tech-powered superhero. Excuse me. Watch for this formidable fella. It actually says fella. To be a love interest for
well,
Felicity.
Well, I called him a gent earlier. Maybe he's English.
Oh, you know, I didn't even think about that. That's... Watch for this formidable fella to be a love interest for Felicity and a rival for Oliver, both personally and professionally. So... the first thing I thought when I read this, and I don't know, you may have gone there as well, is that this is going to be Blue Beetle, and that's what a lot of people online seem to think.
Well, I mean, even just that will drive him to become a tech-powered superhero, and geez, could they drop enough hints in season 2, Cord Industries?
Yes.
I think it's got to be Blue Beetle. Now, they said Daniel.
Okay.
That could be an actual Daniel.
Right. So, just so people know here. So, Ted Kord is kind of the more popular Blue Beetle. He's like the current Blue Beetle. But he is considered Blue Beetle 2. He is the modern era Blue Beetle. There was a guy who was Blue Beetle before him named Daniel Garrett. So, That, I think, is where they're getting Daniel from. And they may actually be going with a character named Daniel Garrett. So it could be Daniel Garrett, you know, using the older name, but have it be more like the modern version of Blue Beetle, potentially.
Could be. Now they could just be using that name to throw us off. It could be Daniel Garrett, could be his actual name, or it could be Daniel Kord. Maybe they just combine the two because we know there's a Kord.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good point. Yeah. Now, can we also just forget Jaime Reyes exists? He's Blue Beetle 3. I don't even want to. Discuss him. I don't want him to show up in the show or anything. So,
okay.
Ick.
All right. We won't talk about him.
All right. So character number 2 is named Seth. Seth, a well-educated criminal with grand ambitions and a knack for chemistry, this potentially recurring character gains powers over his enemies by exposing them to a drug that drains their willpower. Oh, and he is very much a physical match for the Arrow. All right. I have no idea who this might be. I mean, there are potentially dozens of different kind of chemist sort of superhero or supervillains, but I did some looking, and now the physical match for the Arrow, this doesn't necessarily work, but there's a character called Professor Milo, who is a crazy scientist, but he's, at least in the comic books, he's depicted as more of, you know, kind of the... like the Dr. Frankenstein kind of style of crazy scientist. You know, he's very slight, you know, and just a mad genius, not really a physical kind of guy. But, you know, this is the CW, so they have to reinvent characters. Now, I saw some people on the internet saying this as well. It could be the Scarecrow. Scarecrow uses a lot of chemistry to affect other characters and stuff like that, except that he's a Batman villain, particularly, and not a Green Arrow villain, and he's been used in the movies recently, so I don't know.
That, I would be surprised if they did that.
If they use the Scarecrow? I am too. Yeah. I'm not sold on them repeating that.
Yeah, so. I don't... I kind of hope it isn't, actually.
Right.
Gosh, I can't think of anybody else, though, that uses like a drug. So, but remember now they did like, you know, Count Vertigo in the comics doesn't use any kind of drugs or anything like that.
Right. Cause he's a metahuman
abilities.
Right.
Yeah. But in the show they kind of, you know, they made that work with the drug that he was using. So, with Vertigo.
That's true.
So it could be something like that, where they're sort of using the drug to play off on whatever ability he had in the comics.
Oh, okay. In that case, I'm wondering, well, this, I don't really know if this is necessarily an Arrow villain, but I'm thinking maybe Psycho Pirate. He might be a, that might be an interesting character. His thing is he's got kind of a mask that, well, that's not really willpower. I mean, he can drain your willpower, but he also, like, if he feels fear, he induces fear in you. If he feels envy, he induces envy into you. So basically it's like he has a tool.
We've talked about Psycho Pirate before, haven't we?
I don't think so.
I don't remember why we were talking about that. I just remember discussing this. Maybe it was just me and you. Maybe it wasn't even on the show.
Yeah, I don't remember that, but it's totally possible. So so anyway, those are the two characters that are going to be in like the present day part. And then there are two characters they mention here that are going to be in the flashbacks. So if you recall, at the end of the season, the flashbacks start or have him getting off the island and waking up in, I believe it was Hong Kong, correct?
Right.
Okay. So the next character we're going to be introduced to is Toshi. Majorly recurring, at least in the Hong Kong flashbacks, Toshi, late 20s, early 30s, will serve as Oliver's teacher and handler and eventually become a friend. A well-trained operative skilled in weaponry, combat, and intelligence gathering, he is also a devoted father and husband. So basically,
he's not like a green spotted dinosaur that Oliver rides, is he? That's Yoshi.
That is Yoshi.
I apologize.
Yeah.
I'm getting my genres mixed up here.
He wears an eye patch, and he works for Barrier. It's all capitals with periods and Barrier. And it's a secret organization that's in Hong Kong.
Barrier.
So.
Okay. And his name is Nicholas Angry.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I mean, it's just like he's going to be his teacher and handler. It's right. Okay. So it's kind of this, you know, mentor helps him learn some.
Like a Mr. Miyagi kind of
Kung
person.
Fu.
Well, I guess young Mr. Miyagi.
Yeah. 20s and 30s. Plus he's a father and a husband. I mean, like, you know, when I was in my 20s or 30s and I was a father and a husband, I was pretty tired, you know, taking care of my kids. And so, like, I'm going to take on to handling and training this guy as well as my family. Screw that, man. Come on. So,
well, you know, yeah, I don't think he had skills in weaponry and combat and intelligence gathering.
No, I'm
so.
Not. Yeah. I mean, he's probably never sees his family.
Sounds like we're squeezing in another CW actor here.
Yeah, I would assume this is going to be a Chinese actor of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
I would hate for them to, CW is going to whitewash this and put you know, put like a French guy in or something. I don't know.
My name is Toshi. Let's go get a baguette. That was horrible, horrible stereotype. I apologize to all our French listeners.
That was the worst Chinese accent I've ever heard. So
I apologize. Sorry. See, this is what I get when I don't have pants during the show. All right. So but one more quick thing about Toshi. I had two thoughts about where they could take this character, knowing absolutely nothing about him.
Right, right. That's what we're doing here. It's just thinking about that. So.
Either at some point in the season, he could die off, which would really have a big effect on Oliver.
Mm-hmm.
Or, much like Deathstroke, he could show up in present day
mm-hmm.
timeline.
That's what I'm thinking, yeah.
In some way. Which I think, yeah, I think, well, depending on who it is, I think they'll probably go more with that. But
well, so far, every trainer of Oliver's has died. Except Deathstroke, but he kind of came back to life. I mean, he was dead.
Yeah, interesting.
Right, well, so Yao Fei died, Shadow died, and then Deathstroke died. So
okay, so those are all his trainers on the island, so maybe Hong Kong will be a little different.
Yeah. Well, Hong Kong's an island. Oh,
okay, but
wait.
Not the island, though.
Right, but when he says he's 5 years on the island, like, it's still going to count, right? Because he's on Hong Kong, which is an island. So that's
he did say a hellish island.
Yeah, Hong Kong. Have you seen
Never been to Hong Kong, but it doesn't look like a hellish island.
Well, the weather is horrible, I hear. Oh, maybe that's more in mainland China, I guess. So anyway. All right, so the last character that
hellish weather.
Please direct all your comments to the CW because, of course, you know, this is directly related to stuff that they're putting in here. So we'll have to see. Okay, so last character that we are getting some information on is I don't know exactly how to pronounce it. I think it's Akiko.
That's how I said it.
Or Akiko.
In my head.
Anyway.
I think it's a... Well, anyway, I say Akiko. You
Akiko.
Say Akiko.
That's, that sounds
Let's
right.
Call
okay.
the whole thing off.
So this All is right. Toshi's wife. And so Toshi's wife is another of Oliver's Hong Kong caretakers and is herself highly skilled in the martial arts. Period.
So
that's
it's it. Mrs. Well-trained operative. Oh. That's it? She
that's
just
it.
Knows martial arts? Nothing else?
No, that's it. She's... not like she's a good housekeeper. She's a good mom. Nope.
Yeah. Well, yeah. She has to be a mom, huh? Because it says father.
Yeah, he's a father. Well, he could be a father with some other lady.
Okay. Well, so who's Toshi and Akiko's kid? They don't get a credit here, huh?
No.
Maybe I wonder if they haven't done those auditions. Maybe I could pull off that part.
You just keep working on that accent. Well,
okay.
So in a tweet that so I really, you know, that with what was written, that one sentence that really leaves nothing for me to like work on. But in a tweet that Jeff Johns put out, he seemed to be saying, as he was replying to someone else who tweeted, "Hey, when will Lady Shiva appear in Arrow?" And he replied to ask Andrew Kreisberg and tweeted his handle. So there is possibility that Akiko could be a character called Lady Shiva, who is a female martial artist in the DC universe, who is also a member of Birds of Prey, or had been a member of Birds of Prey at one point, which is the group that Canary is part of. And we know that Canary is off getting trained by the League of Assassins right now. So, you know, there is a nice circular kind of logic to suggest that that may be the case. So that'd be interesting.
Okay.
I think it would be more
kind of fits.
Appropriate that she would show up in the present day, possibly more than Toshi. But
yeah.
I like your ideas as well.
Well, and I don't know if she's, I wonder if she'll have any connection to, Canary as well. Because, you know, they're separated now. They don't... Sarah's not with Oliver anymore.
He thinks she's dead now. Like, because the next time he sees her is in Starling City. I believe.
Okay.
Well, at least as far as we know. At least as far as we know.
Yes.
Unless she shows up and then he thinks, oh, you're alive. And then he thinks she dies again. One of those
Remember
things
that time you died for the fourth time? That's... well... Yeah, you know, that's fine. I don't mind them doing that because they've got a lot of years still to cover on the island and explain how he got all trained up. So,
yeah.
That's I like that they've kind of teased these characters or unintentionally teased these characters. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but I like that there's some on in the flashbacks and some in the present day. I'm mm-hmm. sure there'll be many more than this, but. But this is good speculative material.
Right, exactly. It's a good thing to keep people talking about the series during the hiatus, you know, and I think these probably were leaked on purpose, you know, just to kind of tease the stuff. And once you release stuff for people for open auditions, you know, casting directors have the stuff just gets out. So that's why you have to kind of code it in a way that's not going to give too much away about what you're planning on doing with these characters in the season coming up, so...
Right.
We're running a little bit long, so I think we'll leave the next topic for our next summer special. And I just wanted to get to some feedback here before we go away. We got a nice note here from Mark Davies, who's a listener, and he said, "Hi, Jay and Josh. I hope your summer hiatus is going well for both of you. Just wanted to drop a line and say how much I'm enjoying this show and its sister show, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files. Found them both a couple weeks ago and currently listening to your discussions of The Promise. I'm always impressed that people are still just finding our shows, so I think that's really cool. So we need to be mindful of that. There's still a lot of people out there that aren't listening to us, so make sure to tell all your friends. So he goes on to
share
say
it in your local comic book store.
Yeah, Oh yeah, talk about us loudly in the comic book store. I always am doing that to my when I'm talking to my the owner of my comic store. It's like, yeah, so when I'm recording my Green Justice podcast, which is available on randomchatter.com, and he's like, I know, you told me that last week. And I'm like, I know, I'm just making sure you remember what the name of that is for all the other people in the comic shop that are standing there. So anyway, Mark goes on to say, I thought you might like some of my thoughts for Arrow Season 3. I've been reading Green Arrow's new 52 run and have noticed some elements that may be incorporated into early Season 3. One major point that stood out is Oliver journeying to China in order to regain his company, during which time he encounters Suzy Ming. Given the way that they have set up flashbacks for Season 3, it's possible that they will choose to use the story for two or three episodes and link the two eras via the event. My feelings are that he will meet Suzy Ming as an Argus agent in flashback, and that he and Anatoly will aid her under Waller's tutelage in return for the promise of a safe return home. Of course, the question must be asked whether or not Waller would allow people presumed dead to simply walk away from her early attempt at a Suicide Squad type team. This would leave Diggle, Felicity, and Roy holding the fort with the aid of Laurel in Starling City, and I feel a good foil for them would be a character named Harrow, or Haro, who runs underground dogfighting, which includes dogs versus children, as well as being a gun runner for the gangs. Regarding Roy, I think I'd prefer to see him as Red Arrow initially rather than Speedy and be treated more as a partner. The transition into the role of Arsenal will break off on his own at the tail end of the season, preferably without the trucker hat. I guess Arsenal's been wearing a trucker hat in the current incarnation, which I haven't been keeping up with. Given the, quote, real time between episodes, this is possible to do straight from the season premiere and have the remaining training happen off screen. Thea's storyline wouldn't feature early on and only be referenced via throwaway lines to increase suspense until she reemerges in whatever persona she chooses. My bets are on her being a twisted version of Artemis. Hope you're enjoying reading my thoughts and look forward to hearing what you think on the show. So, all interesting points. Having a crossover between flashback Hong Kong and current modern day Oliver going back to Hong Kong would be very interesting. Having him encounter characters and or locations that are relevant to the flashbacks that we see, that could be really interesting. I hadn't thought about the fact that they could do a crossover like that kind of at the same time on the show. You could be in the same location and be having flashbacks 5 years
previous. And just the fact that Waller is there, that makes a lot of sense.
Right.
That she was there in the finale when he woke up.
Yeah, she'll be there in the past as well as being there in the present.
So there may be some sort of connection. That was really good speculation, man. He took care of several potential episodes there.
Yeah.
And also at the end, his little speculation about Thea not coming out early on in the season sounds like he was spot on there, just based on what I've heard. Well, what Stephen Amell said at Denver Comic Con, and some of the other things that we've heard too. So
right.
Great thoughts.
Yeah, I mean that's cool. I think that Roy, with the stuff talking about Roy, there had been discussion about him going into more of an Arsenal kind of character, and I can't remember if this was like tweeted from Guggenheim or if it was an interview. A Red Arrow character might be, and they're not really doing what I want to say. They're not being super true to any of the characters from the comics, in terms of necessarily characterization. So, even if they called him Arsenal, it doesn't mean that he acts just like Arsenal does in the comics. It could be more of a mix of Red Arrow, an older version of Speedy as Red Arrow or as Arsenal, So,
For sure.
Even
in the comics, they've done so many different, incarnations of the characters throughout the years, because these characters have been around for so long.
Sure.
So whether you see them on TV and in different generations of comics, you'll see different ideas of their character. So.
Right. So regardless of what they call him, that may not be the characterization that they apply to that name, I guess. So that'll be interesting. And thinking about Thea being Artemis, I mean, that's really interesting. So all good ideas, Mark, and thank you very much for sending those in. We were very pleased to get that well-thought-out email from you, and I hope you're enjoying the rest of the podcast as you listen to them. So, Josh, I think that I think that's a good clip for one of our summer shows here. So I think we'll just kind of leave it here and probably return in about a month. And we'll see what other news has popped up on the interwebs about the show and find some other cool things to discuss. Maybe there'll be some other feedback from some fans, or, you know, maybe you'll just bump into Stephen Amell in the mall or something like that.
Yeah, tell him we said hi. So,
I'm thinking you're gonna bump into him.
You think I'm gonna bump? I'll fall down if I bump into him.
I mean, you should apologize.
Those tight
really,
abs. I will, of course. So, and I will make sure I will be wearing pants when that happens. So,
yeah, that would be very awkward. Hi, Mr. Mill. I'm a huge fan. Wearing your pants.
You could take me out.
Yeah. Yeah. Security would be chasing you at that point. So.
If you do enjoy this episode, or you just want to leave us some feedback, okay, whether it's an email, but send us some feedback on iTunes. We love seeing that. So give us some good comments on there. And if you want to get us by email, and like Mark did, then you can send us an email at greenjustice@randomchatter.com, or you can get on our Twitter feed there at greenjusticepod, and also you can go on our Facebook page. And that is facebook.com/greenjusticepodcast.
And as Mark also discovered, you can check out the other show that we do, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files, which is also available here at randomchatter.com. We're doing sporadic summer spectacular shows on that. We just did one where we're discussing some interesting speculation about where they may be going for their second season. And, of course, if you enjoy this particular podcast, please be sure to tell your friends about us. And remember, if you don't keep listening, you have failed this city. This podcast is not endorsed by Warner Brothers Television or DC Entertainment. The official website for Arrow can be found at www.cwtv.com. Green Arrow, Arrow, and related elements are copyright DC Entertainment and Warner Brothers Television.